All right, so at the end of the podcast this week, we have an interview with an incredible lady. Her name is Kathy Kleiner. She was one of the survivors of Ted Bundy's attacks. Obviously, Ted Bundy is all over the place with the Netflix special and everything like that. Stick around to the end of the podcast. After the jingle is done, we'll have that interview for you. You are going to be just captivated at her story. So again, Kathy Kleiner, Ted Bundy survivor at the very end.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast, the podcast, today with tortillas on the podcast. Tortillas. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Oh, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Hold on, fellas, while I take a step to the back of the studio.
Yes, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they sell all the things you need except tortillas. They
Dude,
don't
I was
have
at
tortillas.
O'Reilly. I went to O'Reilly the other day and got me some. Man, they sell these little assortment of rubber rings. And they're in different shapes and different...
Like O-rings?
Yes. And I needed... I looked in a little package. You can see the clear thing. I can see there's one in there that's going to fit that I need. And I asked the lady, I said, hey, I just need... I don't need to buy the whole pack. The whole pack was like $4. I said, I don't need the whole pack. I just need that one. Can I just pay for that one? And she goes, no. I said, okay, I'll buy the whole pack. I thought the whole pack, but they had the one I needed, and I was like, "Thanks, O'Reilly, y'all are awesome."
That's how it works.
I said that out loud, just like that.
We got a visit from our friend Chris Marquez,
Woo!
Whose family owns the Marquez Bakery and Tortilla Factory in Odessa, Texas. As Bubba is also holding a pack of the tortillas, and.
Why are you talking like that?
It's the word tortilla. When I say tortilla, I can't help myself, you know?
Okay. Just showing you the beautiful packaging here.
Do you order like that at a Mexican restaurant?
I don't, because I don't order tortillas.
You don't?
I don't. I mean, they come with most of the stuff I order at Chimichanga.
Oh, so all you have to do is be able to say the word.
But you say chimichanga?
What do you say?
You have chimichanga?
No, it's a chimichanga.
I say chimichanga.
I say chimichanga. I don't say chimichanga.
So all you have to do is say flour or corn,
yeah,
and you're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
But which one is your favorite?
What's my favorite?
Yeah,
Oh, the flour tortillas.
You like flour tortillas?
Yeah.
You like corn?
How do you say it? Because I don't feel like I'm saying it that weird.
I say tortillas.
No, you don't. You don't.
I enjoy saying, excuse me, I'm like, you know, my father-in-law says he gets the, my mind just went blank.
Is it quesadilla?
No.
I hate the quesadilla orders. Or the queso dips. Can I have some of that queso cheese?
Oh, man.
I get that one, too. Somebody.
You know what I always hate is when I order, because I love Chinese food. I love Chinese takeout. And we got a really good little place in a strip mall next to the house. And it's just like 3 minutes away. And so we always have to get. So how do you guys say this? It's the General TSO chicken.
So.
General So's chicken.
Okay. My cousin Randy says his favorite is, I love General TSO.
Yeah, that's my ex-wife used to say that.
General TSO.
I love the General TSO chicken. I'm like, I don't think that's
so every time I order, I always feel like I know that I'm saying it wrong and they're just putting up with me.
What if you went in and ordered the General Doe chicken and they would be like, huh? Uh-oh. And you're well, because I read the book, the Tao of, you know, whatever, because a T is pronounced with a D. So if you say, I want the General Doe chicken, if they look at you
sure
like you're just crazy.
That's the same language.
Yeah, it might not be.
No, I don't know.
I would say Tiso, General Tiso chicken.
General Tiso.
That's how
I am.
They
look at you and they
they don't.
And when you leave, they make fun of you.
I'm sure they don't, because I think everyone does that.
No, they don't.
I think a lot of them do, because when
there's
I say it, they don't bat an eye.
And two of us just said it right.
That's where you go, some of that corporal chicken or whatever you got. Yeah. And they go, oh, yeah, okay, we got you.
She's the best, man. When you order, she's like, uh-huh, yeah, neck? Okay, and also the crab rangoon, and four egg roll. Okay, that'd be a 10 minute. And she's gone. I love her so much.
It's like Sam over here at the Thai place, the guy that runs.
Owns it.
Yeah. He has no. If you get him on the phone, he's got no time for you, bro. He's got food to cook.
I was at a Japanese place the other night, and this is like legit Japanese, like really legit. The people are from Japan. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to Japan in 2 weeks with the USO tour. Mm-hmm. I'm going to order in Japanese. No. So I pull out my Google Translate app.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Like, oh, yes.
So she comes up. Nerd. And she goes, and for you? And I'm like, I would like the blah, 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 blah. Beep. And it says whatever. And she goes, okay, so you want the... she repeated it back in English. I said, no, this isn't how it works. You're supposed to say it back in Japanese, and then it'll tell me what you said. And she goes, I don't speak Japanese.
Of course she doesn't.
And, like, oh, she's an older lady, and she's got a really thick accent, and I was, like, the biggest idiot. I was like...
Yeah, because she's probably Korean.
No, she isn't Korean. She's Japanese. I'm probably one of the few people you know that can identify... I can walk up to somebody and go, oh, you're Cambodian.
I'm just saying, you know,
that's from being in Guam.
If she's got an accent and she doesn't speak Japanese, why does she have an accent?
I don't know. Unless she doesn't want to speak Japanese.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point.
That's why I assumed I was safe. Because
that's why you would have the accent, because you speak the language.
Exactly.
Unless she hasn't spoken it in 40 years and still has the accent. I don't know.
My grandfather can still speak French if you... goad him into it.
Well, I was so. Cool. Well, the thing is, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I said I was trying to practice because we're going to China, to Japan, and I wanted to do the translation and all, and I just wanted to see if it worked before I get there and actually have to use it on the street.
I'm heating
up the griddle.
I'm gonna get some cheese.
She's like, oh yeah, no,
what kind of cheese is it?
And then she came,
I don't know,
like Havarti or something, or like some kind of Pepper Jack or something. I saw him. But she was like, oh, and then she came back later and she goes, when do you go to Japan? I'm like, in 2 weeks. She goes, oh, you're going to love it. I'm thinking to myself,
oh, wow, she's really throwing you off there.
Yeah, because she came back and she was interested about it.
Yeah, and like, she said, sounds like she's been there.
Yeah, and so you would assume that she would know. But
she has an accent.
It's terrible.
I think you got had.
Let's see.
I also want to say thank you to Rich, who gave us.
Rich!
I don't want to say his last name. I don't know.
That's all we should say. Well, I think we should just say, Rich Knives, you're the best.
Yep.
I don't want to even show them. I mean, wow.
Yeah, these are great, dude.
Wow.
Well, you know, we get cool stuff. We have cool friends, and we get cool stuff from them. You know who's got cool friends and gets way cooler stuff than us?
Who?
Artists.
Oh, like singers?
I was over at Lee's barn a few weeks ago.
Lee Bryce?
Lee Bryce's barn. It's not a, well, I mean, it is a barn. You know, you think, if I was to tell, have you guys been over there?
No.
So.
I've been invited. I just never go because.
So you go, hey, come out to the, he calls it his farm. Come out to the farm, man. So we go out there and, you know, he's got some old property and you'll go riding four-wheelers and Jeeps and stuff. But it's like, it's not like
it's not
super
farm.
Fancy or anything. But it's cool, dude. Like, he has a whole bay that has a lift in it. It's got air. It's got all the tools. It's got that you could just roll a truck in and work on it right in the bay.
Right, whenever you goof it up.
And then he's got an area that's just like a gun room. And he has so many guns that people have given him. He's got so much just stuff that people give him.
If anybody wants to give me guns, feel free.
I was like, people just give this to you?
Feel free, man.
Like, God. I mean, he's got things that you, I mean, really, really nice stuff. It's like, man. Hey, I think y'all are burning that.
No. Mm-mm. No, we're not burning it.
What was that, Patrick?
Patrick's
perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah, those tortillas are the best.
They're just like my mom's, dude.
Marquez Tortilla Company.
Ooh, I just put Odessa, the butter on it.
Pride of Odessa. Yeah, they are so good. Oh, that's you got.
Oh, God,
done.
I'm dripping butter everywhere.
Oh, dude, you're getting it all over the countertop.
I know. Fail.
Dude, clean that up.
I'm going to.
Oh, my gosh. You know, like.
We have a huge guest coming by, and I just spilled hot melted butter all over me.
Why do y'all put butter on the outside of it?
It wasn't on the outside. It was on the inside, but I didn't fold it right because I put the butter on before I took it off the hot plate.
Why do you fail at folding?
Because I'm a dude.
You're still dripping it.
I know.
Seemed like such a good idea.
Why are you talking like this?
Because I'm dripping everywhere.
Do you see our knives, Carson?
No, what?
Oh my God,
we got free knives.
Oh my God. Look at y'all.
God, this is...
Are you using it to spread butter on the tortilla?
God, this is messing people up.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Get it.
Thank you, Rich. There's a knife.
What's the coolest thing he had over there, like as far as guns and stuff, at least?
You know, that's probably a better question for you. You know guns better than I do. But, he had a, I don't mean, he just had a bunch of, I mean, it's literally a cabinet, like from the floor, you know.
Like at a store?
Six feet tall.
Like a display, or was it a safe?
No, they were like a display. You know, they have like the little cutouts where they can kind of go into the little notch.
Mm-hmm.
It has like felt, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those were all filled with guns, and then he had so many, he just put them in there and laid them against the other ones. So there, I mean, it was, you couldn't even close the door, so many. And he had another safe that had more in it. And then he's got, you know, he's a big bow hunter.
I think it's great. Me and Patrick are so quiet right now.
I know.
I'm happily eating my tortilla.
I'm like chipmunk cheeks right now. I'm like, okay.
We just feed you this every day?
All right, you guys want the best, you want the best meal ever with those tortillas. You go and you buy chicken breast. Get four or five chicken breasts and cut them up in like strips. And then you take good meat, like filet.
Mm-hmm.
And do this, get maybe three, four, five fillets. They're not going to be cheap. And then slice that up. And then take your peppers and onions. And then put all that into a big, giant Ziploc bag. Probably take two. And then put, there is a marinade. It comes, you can get it at the grocery store. You know the aisle, they'll have like a certain like international aisle. That's where I find it. And it's a green pack, and it's called something in Spanish, but it's a fajita marinade, and it's powder, and you put two or three of those in each bag and some water, and then let that sit for 2 days. Let it marinate for 2 days in the peppers and the onions and the meat all mixed up, and then I have two black cast iron skillets, the big ones. And you cook them up, okay? You cook all your meat up, okay? So it's already cooked, and there's gonna be a lot of moisture in it. You just let it kind of slowly cook. You don't have to brown it; just let it cook slowly. And then you take all that out, and you take that juice out. Then you take those skillets and you put a little oil in them, and you put them in the oven for 400 degrees for like 30 minutes. Let them sit there. Then you take those out, put them on the plate, and take that meat that you put in like a bowl or whatever after it's cooked.
So much work.
Throw it on there, and you plate it.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call the little place down the street and order fajitas and tell them I don't want any tortillas and then bring it back here and eat these tortillas.
No, I'm just listening to Big D's thing. It sounds fantastic.
Just eat there for
but
cheap
it's
fajitas.
So much work, dude.
It's really
How do you get that far? It's like, I'm that guy that...
It took you 2.5 days to make this food. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. I'm like, I would never get that far.
I just said sit around. You don't even cook it. You just sit in there. Let go. You got to think ahead.
I'm not
that guy, man.
Marinate any meat you have. If you are going to eat, like if you have steak in the freezer or you're going to, you know, refrigerate and you're going to cook it, do yourself a favor. Marinate it at least 24 hours before you cook it. You should marinate every meat you prepare.
I mean, if you love it, marinate it.
It's better.
Carson, did you laugh at that?
I did. I wasn't expecting it. It was like I got caught by a jellyfish sting of a joke.
What?
He said,
like,
if you really love it, marinate it.
It was actually kind of painful.
Like, I didn't even get it.
Yeah.
No. I didn't know it was a joke.
It really wasn't. It really wasn't a joke.
That's even better.
It was just being dumb, because that's me. That's what
I do. I didn't even know that was a joke. It was so bad. I didn't even get that's what he was trying to do.
Anyway, it was just funny. I started laughing because Carson
laughed.
Shouldn't
eat those last two tortillas.
Like, what? Why?
Dude, how many tortillas have you eaten
Patrick
in the last
ate almost
hour?
A whole pack.
Five.
You ate five tortillas.
Well, no, some of them were like an hour and a half ago. I ate three.
Oh, well.
And then I just ate two more, and that was a mistake.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I got one more on the old hot plate back here.
Okay, well, I'm not going to eat that one.
I like that full Patrick sounds a lot like drunk Patrick. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. This is what you get.
Do you have that, Bubba? Do you have some drunk Patrick saying bye-bye?
Yeah. Give me a second.
It made it to our gold. Patrick went to the Jamaica?
I was in Jamaica.
And he was drunk.
Okay, good. Bye-bye.
And we, Patrick, and we had some lady call him room.
I went back.
There's a hurricane coming.
I hadn't heard that because I was there, and I came back. It was like 3 days later. And I never listened to that whole tape
of
that lady calling. And then y'all calling me with her on the phone. I went back and listened a few months ago, and I was going through stuff for the ACMs where you have to do a reel for the whole year. And I was like, I'm going to go through and listen. And I saw that, and I listened. Oh, my gosh. Where did you find that lady?
Patrick.
She just called.
Yeah. So what happens is they call. I see the number. I realize it's a studio phone, so I pick it up. I'm out of it. I'm totally out of it. And I answer, and it's not like the two of them go, hey, Patrick, this lady wants to talk to you. No, I answer the phone, hello, and it's her. And she goes, Patrick, get out of Jamaica.
There's a hurricane coming, Patrick.
You literally hear my voice go, what? Like, really high. Like, just, huh? What's going on? I don't understand what's happening right now.
Patrick. I'm just kept saying your name over and over.
Go, Patrick. Get out of there, Patrick.
You gotta leave, Patrick.
Man, Jamaican women did not care for your boy.
What?
Oh, man.
Why?
They all hated me.
Why?
I don't know. The Jamaican guys were really nice.
They were into you?
They were just nice. Like, you know, but I kept talking about the people who worked there, and the women just all just hated me. I wish Amber was in here. She could back me up.
Another drunk American.
Oh, God. Look at this. Fat, dumb looking.
Doughy.
I bet he comes over here and asks me for a coconut.
Is he here for Firefest?
Firefest. Yeah, it was. I was just having a good time.
Firefest documentary was really good for the first 40 minutes.
35 minutes.
And then you're like, okay, we get it. It was a scam.
After a while, I was like, okay, what's the problem?
Yeah.
I couldn't even figure out why is this a big scandal?
They covered it at the end, but it took them 35 minutes to basically do something they could have done in about three.
Well,
You're not going to watch a 3-minute documentary, so.
I would.
And then there's 35, it would have been better.
Then there's another documentary about it.
Yeah.
Hulu and Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix and Hulu each have their own.
I watched the Netflix one.
I did too.
Which one's better?
Me too.
I'm not watching the other one.
I don't have Hulu.
I've already learned all I need to know about the Fyre Fest.
Yeah, Netflix had like the viral stuff in it. The things that people, I think Netflix, Hulu was a little bit more in-depth.
People told me it was. If you didn't watch the whole thing, it's the lady from what island were they on? The Bahamas?
Yeah, one who made all the food. I felt so bad for her.
And then she had to hire all these people to do all the food, and then they didn't pay her. So she couldn't pay her employees.
She got stuck having
to
pay them.
So she paid all of these people like $40,000. It was her life savings.
Yep. Yeah, she had to do that because if she didn't, they were going to kill her.
Yeah, so she had to pay the people who worked for her, and these guys, they totally left her. Just screwed, and
I'm sure she did a GoFundMe and made like
she did do a GoFundMe and they made hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, they raised. I think they tried to get her $100,000 and they surpassed it in like 2 hours.
Like was so this recently got, after yeah, the thing
after
came
the documentary
out?
You know what? Came
She's
out.
A good person. She held up her thing. She did her thing.
Yeah, you could tell she was a good person.
That's one of those times where you go, I'm glad that worked out that way.
Yeah,
but yeah, those people. I've actually heard people go, I don't understand what the big deal is. I'm like, oh, those people need to burn in hell. Like, we need to, they should throw that there. You really think they're going to send this guy to jail? I hope they send that guy to jail.
Yeah, I do too. But I also look at the people that he brought in that were Instagram influencers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I understand that's a real thing now. I do. But the ones who are like, even before they see that Firefest is a joke and that like nothing's ready. They're on a commercial airliner and they're complaining. They're like, oh, we're packed in an economy. Excuse me.
Yeah.
What's wrong with economy? Because that's what I fly.
Well, that wasn't the influencer. I thought that was just somebody who bought tickets to
the
show.
It was a mix though.
No, but I'm saying that lady who said that like, I thought she was on a private jet.
Oh, I thought she was an Insta because they had bought all the influencers.
I thought it was about a private jet. Yeah, no, the
yeah, I thought she was an influencer.
Oh, is that not the worst? Even as much as I love me some Britney Spears, and Britney, this is a plea to you.
Oh, baby, stop baby. Doing that.
You but she did it when it was like nobody else was doing it.
I know,
it.
But
now it's
but
like
now
a,
it's everywhere.
You're not supposed to make fun of that. That's sexist.
I'm not
make
being fun sexist. Of vocal fry, I hear guys do it.
Yeah, but
I
you know what? I get to make fun of it because I'm a girl.
Go, Carson.
Go, Carson.
Have you guys checked out my Instagram story? It's lit.
Fetch.
It's lit.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Thank you. That's your exact, your one job. You nailed it. Woo. Oh, took the setup and ran with it. Oh, man. Well, we've been doing a country radio seminar, and by we, I mean me and Carson, because Big D and Bubba did exactly 2 hours each.
We had dinner.
Good
and
for you.
Went to dinner and then
I didn't
bailed.
Do 2 hours.
D didn't even do 2 hours. D told us that day on the show.
King of ghosting.
He said he was going to ghost. And he said that day, and I'll give him credit. He said, I'm going to ghost tonight like you've never seen me ghost before. I'm going to pull the stunt of all stunts. And man, he did. And he ghosted before the.
Everybody knew you were there. Everybody was impacted and touched by you. Mm. And then not even 15 minutes later, we
He's
need you for
gone.
Something.
A picture.
A
photo. Take a picture. And I told Adam from our syndication partner that D would, no, you know what, Adam, I think D ghosted. And he just would not believe it. He kept going back into the restaurant
He was like,
picture.
I just saw him.
I just saw him. I'm like, that's his magic. That's how he does. He's a fat white ninja. You've never seen anything like that.
It truly
he just
is.
Disappeared.
Yes.
And which
he went
also
back three times to look for you.
He did, which left us hanging,
yeah, like
standing in front
there.
Of a wall,
hugging each other
with our arms around each other.
Yeah, yeah, seriously, I really needed to stand that close to Bubba for 10 whole minutes.
And
thank
people
you, Adam.
Keep walking in and out, and they're like, "Hey, guys,
why are y'all standing there like you're taking a picture? No one's taking, no one's got a camera.
Well, it's great just to sit around and hug everybody.
It's not my fault. That's Adam's fault. You told him I was.
I did tell him. You were gone. And he didn't believe me.
Now, the key to ghosting well is in your I told Bubba's text, which you don't know. Bubba,
I almost texted
me and said, "Hey, man, I'm with you. I really want a bolt out of this thing tonight." I'm like, "Dude, come on, let's do it." He goes, "Well, what's the key?" I go, "The key is you need to act like someone has come to you and to your table and said, excuse me, you have a phone call waiting for you in your living room." And so you get up with a mission. You look straight ahead. You see, people look around. That's what gives you away.
Yeah.
When you get up and you kind of like look.
You can't say bye to anybody. You tell one person bye. There's a risk of being overheard. Yep. There's a risk that they'll say something.
Can't make eye contact. Risk,
you know, that's you get the up key. And you go. You just don't tell anybody bye. That's where I've always made a fail.
I saw him do it. I saw him stand up from the table and just walk. And he walked in the direction of the exit, but from where we were, it was also the bathroom. And I thought, if he was going to the restroom, he would have excused himself from the table. He didn't even do that because everyone was still talking. He just stood up and walked away from the table.
And I did that right when I was watching you because you had a great view of me. We were right looking at it. We kept looking at each other the whole night because we're in love. And I saw a guy come over to talk to you. And I was like, that's all I needed because I was looking
for
diversion.
Because you were
waiting
for me to be distracted.
Yep, and then I was
gone. And out of the corner of my eye, I see him get up, and I'm like, oh, shoot.
You saw me going, I know where you saw me, right, going around that corner.
And I lied to myself in that moment. You ever do that? Like, he's not leaving. He's going to the bathroom. It's cool. Yeah. And then 5 minutes goes by, and then 7 minutes.
That's all right. Maybe he's got stomach problems.
I'm like, oh, man. And then it's like, hey, everybody, let's go take a picture. Oh man, boy. D is gone. He gone.
I got a text message from Bubba that says, it was like, dude, you're a legend.
No, I didn't even do that. I just texted all caps, legend.
Legend.
And when he texted that, I was 15 miles away. That's how far I'd gone.
The best was they started to tell people, instead of going to the restaurant to look for you, to go look for your car because they parked it out front. Like it sounds like they didn't actually go park it wherever valet people park it.
He was in the Chevelle, so they parked
it up front. And so everybody's like, well, go see if his car's there. That was the big telltale, is if the car was gone, then we knew he had skedaddled.
And it was gone.
Of course it was gone.
It was gone.
He gone. Yeah, it's been an interesting week. I learned something about myself and about this business every year during CRS. I always think I've been doing this for 16 years in a row. I think I've done it enough. And there's always times where you go, oh, I've learned that having a girlfriend or a fiance or a wife and taking them to CRS is hard because I can't walk. And this is going to, I'm not being, Carson can help me. I'm not being, I'm so great. I can't walk 50 feet without 10 people stopping me. And that's not me. It would happen to you too. You know, it's just every, you know, I know hundreds of people from around the country that I don't get to see except for this.
And they're in one place.
They're all in one place in this mm-hmm. hotel and this big convention center. So they're all, you know, yeah. You'd think, okay, I got to get from here to there. It's 100 feet and I got to be there in 20 minutes. Not enough time. It's just not. Because after I'm done talking to this guy, I'm going to walk away and 5 feet later, someone comes up. And so it's very difficult just to get through the room. And when you have someone else with you who's not involved in the conversation, it's a little bit.
Do you know what I did? I went around. Like when I first got there, I got there late.
Oh, you went around the outside?
I went around the outside, so I didn't have to go through the ballroom area.
I'm just talking
smart
about
idea. Obvious.
And
idea.
I was like, boom, boom, in, and that's how I left also.
I'm intentionally trying to have these conversations because it's good for our business to talk to people.
Oh, no, you know, I wasn't avoiding people. I was just trying to get home.
Just, I do.
You know, she's listening to me have the same conversation 25 times.
Dude, like, do my move. I walked right through it. It took me 30 seconds. And you people go, Dean, you go, what up? And you keep going.
I'm not that cool, man.
That's a good move.
That's a good move, though.
You point at
I
me.
I did go, a little so. Bit. When we went to lunch the other day, I got tired of stopping, and I started just like, you know, hey.
Yeah.
You were sheep waving him.
You should have like a you know, like a fan, you know, like concert. You have like a fan. You have a fan, and it just says, yo.
Yo.
And somebody goes, and you'd hold up a sign. Yo. Hey. How are you?
Hey.
Carson
hey.
And I saw Garth Brooks play in an empty arena for about 1,000 people.
And I had tickets and didn't go.
And Bubba did
no, not. So I brought some random dude.
And he was fake Bubba for the
He
night.
Was fake Bubba. I had to lean over my friend. I'm like, what is fake Bubba's name? Like, this guy is crying on my shoulder at Garth Brooks. I don't know his name.
Yeah, he cried.
He cried.
He actually cried. He cried. Garth Brooks is singing and there's a man.
All right, so
crying.
Here's the story, PG. So,
oh man.
So,
okay.
I'm on. We're walking to the show with two of my friends, and this guy comes up and knows one of the people I'm with. And hey, you gonna come to Garth? And no, I don't have the ticket. Whatever. And I was like, would you like to be Bubba? I'm gonna be the ticket fairy, right?
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna hook you up, and you're gonna come to Garth with us.
It's Christmas.
Yeah. So we go to Garth, and he's sitting next to me. Not next to my friend that he actually knows. And so I'm calling him fake Bubba because I don't know his name. And Garth comes out. And, of course, he's amazing. And, you know, I guess I'm in my feels, but my feels are not as deep as his. And Jim Croce is covering Jim Croce. And Garth is just covering a bunch of people's songs.
Just singing
very
a bunch
cool
of songs, right?
Singer-songwriter stuff. Dude has an emotional breakdown.
Apparently,
during Jim
like
Croce.
His girlfriend left him for
his best friend.
And that was basically what the song was about. Garth started singing. So this guy starts crying.
In my
on
shoulder.
Carson's shoulder.
He actually leaned into
yes,
you.
Yes, and he's leaning into me.
This is a guy no, she met what, 45 minutes before that.
Was he into you? Was this like his in? Like maybe he's like.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I kind of got that vibe from him. But also I had just given him a Garth ticket. And so who wouldn't be in love with you for that? Right? Like that. So I don't really know.
And also that's not a great move if you're a single dude. I don't think crying on chicks is a good way to get there.
If you watch what they
tell
you in the media.
I never personally tried crying on chicks, but.
I don't know. Maybe that's why you were single for so long.
No, but I'm just saying they show you on the media that you can't be a man anymore.
That's true. Because, he leaned. He kept, like, kissing my forehead and my temple. And
he would tell you, I love Gillette.
I don't know. But, yeah, so he's telling me all this stuff about, like, his girlfriend leaving him. And, look, I understand I'm a female, but I am shallow as a puddle. So
also,
I only get emotional over like Garth Brooks.
Yeah. Also, Garth Brooks is about 15 feet away, so I'm gonna need you to stop crying.
Stop. Like, because I'm messaging a friend of mine last night, and I go and I told him what was going on. He's like, "So this guy trying to make a move?" I'm like, "I don't know. I was just really concerned that Garth would think we were together."
I don't want Garth to think that I'm here with the weeper.
With the crying guy.
Could you think Garth just stopped, you know, Jim Croce and then
Miss Carson?
Who is this son?
Is that
your
guy
shoulder?
Crying on you?
Well, I don't
know. No, Garth, he's just eating my hair.
It was. He's all like leaning into me. I had a dude stop a concert once, and he was a guitarist, and he just tells the guy next to me, "Would you leave her alone? That's my girlfriend." I mean, fun fact, I wasn't his girlfriend, but thank you, sir, for like getting this dude off me. So I was like, "Excuse me, Mr. Garth Brooks, could you give this guy a napkin? Because my jacket is getting real soggy."
It was so quiet.
I'm glad I don't have these problems.
It's just 1,000 people in a stadium, which is amazing. In
19,000 seat arena, 19,000 and there's only 1,000 people there.
Anytime you're
on purpose, not because nobody wanted to go see
anytime
him.
Anytime you're in that setup, that's going to be amazing. But to get 1,000 people in our business to sit stone quiet because you're freaking Garth Brooks and we're hanging on every word you say. It was so intimate and so quiet and small that at one point he starts playing a song and he's right about to sing and Vivica's sitting right next to me in the third or fourth row and sneezes and Garth goes, "Bless you." And I was like, "Oh my God, Garth Brooks just said bless you when
and
you
I'm
sneeze."
And I'm like 20 people over and I start laughing. And nobody else did. I'm like, I think that's funny. Garth
that's
said
adorable.
"Bless you."
Garth,
but did
when
he,
was the last time you were at a concert and sneezed and Garth Brooks said "bless you"? That's unbelievable.
That's like getting
a blessing from the Pope.
Yeah,
though.
That's what it I was going to say,
like
man.
From, it was awesome. The
it
whole
was,
thing
was
crazy.
I asked a question, so I spoke to the man.
Yeah,
and everything.
So Patrick.
Yeah. Oh, Patrick.
Oh,
asked
I had
a
it
question.
For a second there. I had the AJ for a sec. But Patrick apparently got dissed by Garth because Patrick starts bringing up Chris Gaines.
Here's
apparently.
No. I said that I'd seen his concert in the last, you know, tour. I'd seen his concert two or three times.
Amateur.
And I'd gone up to, I'd even been at one of the Nashville flood relief shows and they had his banner. They had a spotlight, one spotlight going up to the rafters to show his
if
banner.
If you'd like to see that, you can see that on my Instagram page.
Carson on air. And I said, I was even at one of those, and I've seen you do housekeeping, which is where Garth takes his guitar, just him and the guitar, and he goes and he plays requests for people in the crowd. And I said, I've never seen anybody stump you, but I've never gotten my chance to ask you to play my favorite Garth Brooks song. And he kind of looked at me like, okay. I said, my favorite Garth Brooks song is That's the Way I Remember It. For my favorite Garth Brooks song from my favorite Garth Brooks album is That's the Way I Remember It. And he goes, oh, from Chris Gaines? No. Not going to happen. And I mean, oh, well, at least I tried.
You referred to it as Garth Brooks.
I didn't. I said my favorite Garth Brooks song from my favorite Garth Brooks album. I didn't say Chris Gaines. He did. He knew what. He knows every song he's recorded.
I would
ever,
hope
probably.
He knows his own
but then,
babies.
But then he goes, I can't do it. But then he looked at me and he goes, are we cool? Are we good? I was like, as if to say, why is that your favorite Garth Brooks album? Are you a spy?
Meanwhile, on the other side of the crowd, I have no idea that it's Patrick who's the idiot who asked for Chris Gaines.
And
I'm ready to leap
goes,
out of my seat and act as security and shank the idiot that asked for Chris Gaines.
Care.
And then here's Patrick going, That was me.
I'm shameless.
Seriously?
Let me tell you something right now. You can't. If you don't already own it, you can't go listen to it because it doesn't exist anywhere in digital form. It is an incredible album.
I've got two copies of it. You've got
I've got four copies of it.
There's a million of them and probably two-thirds are in this room.
Yeah. Because I know that one day Garth Brooks is going to try to buy up all the copies of that thing just to have them destroyed.
He's
going to
do the Activision ET thing?
Yeah, he wants to pretend it didn't happen.
Can you really not find that anywhere online?
No.
I mean, I'm sure you can find it
like,
on eBay to
buy
eBay the
or
CD.
Something.
But remember, Garth's music isn't on Spotify. It's not on Apple. It's only on Amazon. And I don't
Chris
think
Gaines
on
is...
Amazon, that, yeah, they don't have Chris Gaines on Amazon. So it's not there.
Remember that was supposed
it.
To be a movie and
yep.
the whole thing.
It
was
to be a very whole.
Weird. He had a
again,
story.
He did Saturday Night Live as Garth Brooks and Chris Gaines.
Yep.
It was Garth Brooks was on SNL and the musical act was Chris Gaines. He introduced himself, which was still the coolest trick I've ever seen.
Did
them
you ever
pull.
See him on the Muppets?
Yeah,
Garth
yeah,
Brooks
yeah.
did the Muppets show. When it was like Muppets Tonight or whatever, mm-hmm. and they kept trying to get him to do songs, and he kept singing like non-country songs, and finally they're like, "Will you do something with fiddles?" And he's like, yeah, okay, one fiddle song. And he goes up and he does the song from Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, the Greek song? It's great.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm sure I saw
it.
I mean, do you remember when he was on Empty Nest?
No.
Yeah. They did, like, NBC did this whole country tie-in. Clint Black was on Wings. Garth did Empty Nest. Yeah, it was a whole.
Who was on the Golden Girls?
I don't think it was Golden Girls. It might
have.
What?
Yeah, it sounds like, no, but there might have been somebody else on a show. But yeah, Clint Black was on an episode of Wings, which is a fantastic episode. Garth on Empty Nest. Not Garth's fault that it was a little bit more of a forgettable show.
So when Clint Black was on Wings, was that before or after who's the female on there, the lead
Crystal
actress?
Bernard?
Yes, was it before or after she tried doing a country album?
Oh, way before. Wings was way before that. And actually, he didn't have a tremendous amount of interaction with her. He was in a different storyline.
Oh.
So, yeah, she didn't have much.
Don't you think
do.
They would have been on the set near
yeah,
the
yeah.
same
oh,
time?
Yeah, I'm just saying, but it wasn't like Crystal Bernard got the chance to sing on the show with Clint Black or something.
They didn't let her sing?
No. Oh, it was the whole premise was revolved around a Clint Black concert. They didn't really want to make it a stretch for him. So.
Okay.
Coming up after the podcast is an interview that we did with Kathy Kleiner.
Yes.
Who is someone who survived an attack by Ted Bundy back in 1978 when she was in her sorority house bedroom asleep, and he came in and hit her in the head with a piece of wood, like a
firewood.
Like firewood, like a log, yeah.
She woke up, and we'll hear the story. It's fascinating. It was kind of an unusual interview for us when Patrick came in and asked us if we would be interested in having her.
But everybody's talking about Ted Bundy right now because of the documentaries.
It's everywhere, and I think it's important to hear these stories because it gives you an idea of how messed up people are. And you know, Ted Bundy gets kind of romanticized a little bit because
He's
of how
so
he looks.
Handsome.
And how he talks and all that kind of thing. But when you hear her telling just the graphic details.
What kind of monster
gore,
he is.
The brutality.
Oh,
it's horrific.
When she said, and I'm not giving away the interview here, but there's a part where she says she was saying, you know, stop, stop. But she realized all she was doing was moaning because her jaw was shattered. Oh, she was just going, but in her head, mm-hmm.
Screaming on the inside.
Yeah.
Imagine being in your bed in the middle of the night asleep and pow, just getting hit right in the head with anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is coming up after the interview, after the podcast.
And
here.
I don't, before like it turns people off, I don't want people to think that, oh, it's depressing. I don't want to hear it. No, it's she tells a story, and there's a reason why you need to hear it, and we'll ask that you sit through that because it is it's really compelling.
And also that she's she just talked to us to tell her story.
Yeah, there she's not writing a book. She's we're like, you need
and
to write a book.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with if she wanted to write a book, but no, she's just because this is the 30th anniversary of his execution and with the documentaries that have come out, that good. I think it's still, we need to hear victim stories, and thanks to her for continuing, because I'm sure this is something that dominates your life, because and it was no choice of hers. She's literally a victim. But to continue to tell the story is it's really a big deal to share with
us. For those of you who are watching live on Facebook, that is on the actual podcast version that's posted. If you need links to the podcast or any of that stuff, check all of our social media. We'll have that out shortly. And then for those of you who are on the podcast listening, just hang on. As soon as we're done with the jingle, you can stick around and hear that interview. Thank you, O'Reilly Auto Parts, for sponsoring the podcast. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. You got something to say? Or?
Yeah, I was going to say that make sure that you give the podcast 5 stars.
Yes, rate us.
Please rate us and get 5 stars, because when you do...
An angel gets its wings.
An angel gets its wings. So if you can... do 5 stars. Don't do 4. That's lame.
Yeah, 4 is for losers.
Do 5. 5
Real quick, probably. Also with this weekend, when you're thinking, man, this podcast was fun, and I wish I had more Big D and Bubba type stuff to listen to, you can listen to Carson's podcast, which is called
Stop Following Me.
Stop Following Me on whatever app you're listening to this on. Go and listen to Stop Following Me and give it a 5-star rating. And shameless plug, also, you can listen to 5 Whiskey Patrick, which you can find everywhere else. And hey, we like those 5-star ratings. It helps us.
Patrick has like 70-some-odd ratings.
Yeah.
Like 70 really? Different people. Yeah, I've got like 24, which thanks.
He's probably got more than us because we...
Yeah.
Well, we never talk about it.
We never did. That's why
we never do.
Someone told me those ratings are important for all...
For placement.
We're just, if you ever think, boy, I wish I could help Big D and Bubba out, that's how you help us. Yep, just go give us a 5-star rating. That'd be awesome.
Or you could send us $1 billion.
I mean, if you got
sure.
It. If you, a million even.
Or tortillas.
Or tortillas.
Fair. Marquez Bakery.
Thank you, Marquez.
This was the podcast with tortillas, but that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the podcast.
Okay, kids. Bye-bye.
If you've been following the Ted Bundy, I know there's a lot of stuff on Ted Bundy that's out, the shows and documentaries and whatnot. Kathy Kleiner was one of the sorority girls who was asleep in the sorority house back in 1978 when Ted Bundy broke in and murdered two, tried to kill all four of the girls. But two survived. Kathy was one of them, and she joins us on the hotline right now. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
We're good. Thanks for doing this. And I know it's there's been a lot of attention on Bundy lately, and you know, I think it's. What is your thoughts on, before we kind of get into what happened, for those who don't know about you, your thoughts on all the hoopla over him?
I think that since it is the 30th year of his execution, that people are bringing it back because either they want people to know about him, or people that do know, they wanted to bring it back, bring it up to the forethought because he was so evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's news. I'm on the shows, and they made a movie and the Bundy tape. So it's something I think they're bringing back because it's interesting and people want to know about it.
Yeah. So take us back to 1978 and there in the sorority house.
I was in my sorority room. Each room was very small, and there was a long hallway on the second floor, and there were rooms on each side. In our room, we had two twin beds along the walls and a trunk in between the beds. So each room was set up about the same way. The first room he went into was Margaret Bowman's room. He attacked her, strangled her, and raped her. Her bed and my bed were parallel along the wall, and I never heard anything.
Wow.
So he attacked and killed her, and he rose the sheets up to her neck so it looked like she was sleeping. And at that point, he walked right across the hall into Lisa's room. I think he had more confidence now that he knew what he was doing, and he was starting to get frenzied up because he had killed Margaret, and it was easy for him. He didn't have to kidnap or anything. So when he was in Lisa's room, he attacked her with more force. He did use the log. He strangled her. He bit her and other things. And when he bit her, he left impressions of his teeth. So that ended up being something that they used to capture him and to put him on trial.
I also want to mention, I'm sorry, Kathy, I also want to mention that you kind of went by it real quick. He used a log, like a piece
of a tree.
From a tree. I mean, we're talking, brutal, unbelievable. Okay.
The log he picked up was actually a piece of firewood that was by the back door of the sorority house. So it was all piled up, and
yeah, but
he just grabbed one of those pieces.
It's a very blunt object.
That's
that's a different kind of death.
Okay, and then so take us from there. I'm sorry, Kathy.
That's okay. After he attacked Lisa, he walked across the hall again, I think in full frenzy, out of control, just doing what he did and, couldn't control himself. And he walked into our room, at which point I heard him open the door while I was sleeping. And he tripped over that trunk that was between our two twin beds. I woke up more, and I could see him now. I opened my eyes, and I could see the silhouette of someone standing in front of me. It was all dark. The room was dark. He had a neat knit cap on him. And I remember seeing him raise his arm over his head with this log in his hand and bringing it down on my face with such force that it shattered my jaw. Excuse me. He cut my cheek wide open and excuse me, he attacked, I mean, it hit my shoulder as well and shattered it. I was making noise at that time. I know I felt like I was screaming in my head, help me. And all I was doing was moaning because of my jaw. Bundy next went across the other side of the room to the bed where Karen was, attacked her as well. And then I was still awake, so he came back, I believe, to finish me off. Ted Bundy did not leave anyone alive. His victims were dead when he left them. So I think he came back to my side of the bed to finish me off. And again, he raised his arm up, but before he could strike me again, light shone up from a car coming home from a gate, and in the back, we faced the back of the parking lot. There were curtain rods in our windows, but we left them open for plants to hang. Mm-hmm. At that point, right when he had his arms up again to hit me, a car illuminated the room. The light shone into our room, really bright, and he looked at them, and I think he thought he was seen because it was so bright in there. So at that point, he left our room and went out of sorority.
Wow.
Wow.
Obviously, you know, the with Ted and the way he was arrested was, I mean, unbelievable. The circumstance, I mean, it was a routine a traffic stop. I mean, the cops was like, well, it wasn't routine. He thought something was wrong. It didn't look right. You know, just kind of instincts. The police officer was like, something's not right here. And that's how he was arrested.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he was arrested because he got caught or...
No, wasn't he driving slow? They thought it was weird that he was just driving slow.
And, you know, you think about if he hadn't have been... If that cop had not been there, if, you know, it was all the circumstances and the stars hadn't aligned, Kathy, I mean, this guy could still be out there. And
yeah.
I can't imagine you and everyone there following this trial as it was happening. I'm assuming, I mean, you were trying to recover, but were you pretty much all in following this trial?
Yes, I was. I was a witness, and I sat in the witness stand. And I remember in the courtroom, there was the judge, and then there were two tables across next to each other. One was defense, and one was prosecutor. And I looked over at the defense table, and there was Bundy. He had his elbows on the table, his face in his hands, and he was just looking at me. He was just staring at me. And when I first walked in and saw him, I glanced because I was looking at everything. The first thing I felt was I was sick to my stomach. Mm. I just felt that's all I could understand. That's all I felt. As the prosecutor asked me my first question, I looked over at Bundy, and he was staring me down, and I stared him down.
Good.
I did not
you.
Want him to feel like he had any power over me anymore.
Yes.
That I made it. I was in control now. He was losing control.
Yes.
And that's the way I felt the whole time I was asked questions.
Oh, so great. Carson, now you watched the entire
the tapes
and all that stuff. Did you find that watching it, and because everyone talks about how he was good looking and, you know, attractive, does that play a part to you and like, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you, directly correlating to what Kathy went through, when I got to college, I'd never heard of Ted Bundy because it was kind of a little before my time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told about Ted Bundy during orientation.
Really?
And it was
yeah.
Don't trust. It was because, look, this happened at, you know, on a college campus, and it was... you know, talking about safety and watching out for yourself and stuff, but also trying to, they used him specifically as an example, number one, because of what happened to Kathy and some of the other women in her sorority house, but also because he was good looking and charming, that if you watch those tapes, that he would approach a group of women and say like, hey, you know, he had the fake cast.
Yeah.
And here's a man who looks a little bit like, oh, I need your help. And he's playing on those sympathies.
Yeah.
That there was such a twist in his mind. And I think that's part of the reason, I'm sure Kathy has some insight into that too, that's why we keep digesting the story over and over because I think so many of us can't comprehend.
Or you never see it. You would never suspect him.
And I think that's why he does keep coming up. And that level of evil is, you know, Kathy, who literally lived it and lived through it and survived. Yeah. And the rest of us still trying to just, like, what happens there? And I think that's part of the reason that we're all still watching it and just marveling at this man who seemed charming and good looking. Like, what was he? What happened there?
Yeah. I know that he showed people only what he wanted them to see and who he wanted them to think he was. So I think all of that adds to, you know, how could this guy do this and why did he do this? And I remember when he attacked me, he gave me a different kind of education at school because I learned that I was strong and I was going to overcome this and no one was going to take that away from me. I was in control now. So I think with it being the 30th year anniversary, I think that's why this is all brought up now. And it's hard for people to understand a lot of this. And I watch the tapes. I binge watch on Netflix. And I didn't enjoy it, but while watching it, I saw how in the beginning he was great and, you know, the good guy, everyone he wanted people to see. And as the tapes went on, he deteriorated and he became not in control anymore. And he started falling apart. And it showed, I think, at the point where he was executed and he was to that point that he was like just totally out of control and, you know, begging for his life. And I feel just like as his victims begged for their lives. I hope he had anything of that in his head. And I'm sure he didn't because he was such a sick man that, you know, that was something he wouldn't think about. But in my head, I hope he did.
Well, you
and also wanted to add that after the attack, I wouldn't read anything I could find about him, any book that I could find, because I wanted to know this person. I wanted to know inside of him what ticked, what made him who he was. So I read everything I could, and I watched all the movies, and it helped me get a better understanding that he wasn't everybody. He wasn't, not everyone was a Ted Bundy, but I had to know who he was as a person and who he grew into and why he did what he did.
Well, we're so appreciative of you talking and sharing this. And I, you know, please be careful. You know, there's something else to learn from. I'm sure it changed the way you walk into the grocery store, where you park your car, where you go and who knows where you're going and all that. Just be careful, everyone. And thank you, Kathy. I hope you write a book soon. I would love to read it and get more insight on what you went through. So please keep us up to date on that.
Thank you. I will definitely tell you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Kathy Kleiner. Unbelievable, man. I mean,
that's crazy. Uh-huh. When she was telling her story, I was just frozen listening.
And you know, when she's telling the story, she's such a good speaker anyway. You just see it.
Yeah.
When she's talking about him being in the doorway and she can see the outline
and his arms coming up over his head with that log in his hand coming down and crushing her jaw, and then the lights hitting him and him, like, we all saw it, you know.
Yeah,
everyone saw it in your head. If you get a chance to watch the Ted Bundy tapes, it is really fascinating. It's a part of our history and our country, that's pretty scary.
I would also like to add, if you're also one of those people who watches it and goes, you know, he was kind of hot. Stop. Stop with that.
No.
After hearing what she just went through, stop with that.